Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So His Holiness Srila Satchinanda Maharaj has chosen this beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the second chapter, very essential verse that was often quoted by Srila Prabhupada, connected to the importance of enthusiasm. This is chapter 2, text number 41. Vyavyasatmika buddhir.
Vyavyasayatmika buddhir.
Ekeha kudanandana.
Ekeha kudanandana.
Bahusakya yanatascha.
Bahusaka yanantascha.
Udayo vyavasainam.
Udayo vyavasainam.
Vyavyasayatmika Mika buddhir.
Vyavyasayatmika buddhir.
Ekeha kudanandana.
Ekeha kudanandana.
Bahusaka yanantascha.
Bahusaka yanantascha.
Udayo vyavasainam.
Udayo vyavasainam.
Vyavyasayatmika buddhir.
Vyavyasayatmika buddhir.
Ekeha kudanandana.
Ekeha kudanandana.
Bahusaka yanantascha.
Bahusaka yanantascha.
Udayo vyavasainam.
Udayo vyavasainam.
So I'll just read the translation. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Okay. Our translator, you have the Bhagavad Gita? Not. Can we please bring a Bhagavad Gita to Bhakti Irena, opened at the second chapter, text 41, 241. Please give to Irena.
Purport. A strong faith. I'm sorry, go ahead. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness, one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyavyasatmika intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text number 62 states, Strata sabde vishva kahe suhuda nischaya Krishna bhakti koila sarva karma krita hoy. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relationship to the material world with obligations to family traditions, humanity, or nationality. Fruit of activities are the engagement of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he need no longer endeavor for good results in his activities. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer object to dualities like good and bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudev Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. A person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly that Vasudev or Krishna is the root of all manifested causes. As by watering the root of a tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and the branches, So, by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, one's family, society, country, humanity, etc. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everything will be satisfied. Then everyone will be satisfied. Service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the guidance of a spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. As such, to be well versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna. And one should accept the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayers to the spiritual master as follows. Yashat prasada bhagavat prasado, yashat prasadan nagati kutopi, dayams duvams tasyat yasyastri sangam, bande guru sri charanaravindam. Translation. By satisfaction of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And not by satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy 3 times a day and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. Unquote. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically, but practically, when there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities. One who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive activities. End of purport. I'll read the translation again. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched.
Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitri Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prasarine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
There is a very interesting verse or line in the Gayatri Mantras, which very much takes up this point of that Srila Prabhupada has made in the purport. The verse which we have read about today describes a spiritual list, a devotee of Krishna, who has fixed his mind on one goal, who is one-minded or one-pointed, concentrated, fixed, undiverted. No? And it is, Prabhupada described that to come to this level, requires the training of a spiritual teacher, a spiritual master. Now, from the spiritual teacher or the spiritual master, we can also obtain the life force of this simple orientation. This, what Krishna talks about here, this concentration, or you could say this fixation, this absolute single-minded orientation, comes to a person who has faith that, yes, if I concentrate my life and if I fix my life in this direction, all the needs which are there are either my own needs or needs which people have in connection to me, expectations which they have. All this can be fulfilled if I just serve Krishna. This faith or this shraddha is really required if you wish to concentrate yourself on Krishna consciousness and really having this one orientation. I believe all of us in the deepest core of our heart wish to have this concentration and wish to have this faith. I remember in my own spiritual practice, I became so absolutely relieved when I understood that for my own spiritual elevation, only one thing is necessary, and that is that I become fixed up in my chanting of the holy names of God. I remember, one practice which takes care of all the other needs. How good and how nice that I have found it. I felt great relief at the beginning of my Krishna consciousness. I didn't need to learn complicated yoga techniques to concentrate the mind. I didn't need to really become a scholar in the many, many, many Vedic scriptures. I did not need to please so many people. If I could just fix my mind on God and worshipping Him through the holy name, everything would be taken care of. I remember a great sense of relief came over me, knowing that, now my life is no longer so complicated. It's now very, very simple. But I, obviously, during my practice of Krishna consciousness, felt the simple shraddha challenged at times. What about this? Don't we have to take care of that? And about a social system which works, and my psychological balance in my mind, and so on and so forth. So here in this verse, it is said that the single-minded concentration is really a result of shraddha, of faith, deep abiding faith of a devotee. That's necessary if you want to concentrate yourself entirely on Krishna. You need to have faith in Him. Now, it's very, very interesting to note in our scriptures that this faith, the single-minded orientation, requires a life force to keep it alive. It's almost like a body. A physical body requires the soul in order to live and not be a dead soul, not a dead body. In the same way, our faith in Krishna requires a soul, something which keeps it alive, which keeps it going over the years, which in fact enlivens the faith or the shraddha. And this soul is in Sanskrit utsahan, or in English enthusiasm. I believe that this is a great problem, for instance, in Christianity. People do believe in a religious system with a certain philosophical explanation of reality, but often they are not very enthusiastic in their practice, and therefore they are bound to make so many compromises with material life. I strongly believe that this is also, or this could also be an issue or a subject for devotees who get a little older in their spiritual life. If the devotees are successful to maintain their enthusiasm, they will keep the initial life and the initial Begeisterung. How do we say Begeisterung? It's something like enthusiasm. The initial joy and the initial spirit to surrender and even to sacrifice. But if the devotees cannot maintain or keep their enthusiasm, or even increasing it, they may have a certain shraddha, that means a certain belief in Krishna consciousness, but they will be a little sad because they will find out, my spiritual life is not alive any longer. I'm not really fully alive. In fact, some older devotees have told me, I feel like a half-dead man. And this can be a problem. If a body doesn't have an active soul, a fully alive soul, it will first of all become very dried out, and then the body will develop many diseases. No? If you're not alive, then there will be back pains and this pain, and the great threat of cancer will also be there. Being fully alive is by now something which the medical profession seems said is necessary to remain healthy in your life and to be able to dance even when you are 58, like Chandramouli Maharaj. He's an old man. He's almost 60 years, and he dances more than Veerachandra. Veerachandra's eyes are now showing signs of life, and he signals me, sometimes he dances more, but you have not seen me at the summer camp. So yes, this enthusiasm is necessary, not only for health, but mostly it is necessary, of course, for spiritual health, and to keep spiritually healthy. And at the beginning of our spiritual life, yes, the enthusiasm is usually there, otherwise we wouldn't start. In the middle stages of our spiritual life, the enthusiasm is, by statistical observation, always a little weak. But in the more advanced states of Krishna consciousness, that means when one can overcome this middle field, where one has to do a lot of work to find out how do I practice nowadays, and how do I engage all my different natural tendencies in such a way that they are that I'm happy in my life, and happy in my spiritual life also. In middle stage, where we have to do a little work and confront many issues, sometimes it's not so easy with our enthusiasm. But when we are more advanced, then again, we are very enthusiastic. So the opposite of enthusiasm. How would you describe the opposite of enthusiasm? We will be now a little bit analytical. Apathy. apathy in creation is apatasya. Apatia. Yes, apatia. I'm trying to learn. Please encourage me. The apatia. One symptom of apatia is also that you feel something like, I hope it's a creation word as well, inertia. You just don't feel enthusiastic to be active on the spiritual platform. The reason for this can be a very innocent reason, that you are just physically very weak and mentally exhausted. That is very often in nowadays, in our times, the case. But in spiritual life, this inertia, you know, this resistance to spiritual activity usually comes due to a lack of enthusiasm. That strength of enthusiasm, that soul of our Shraddha, is somehow not there, and as a result, I feel inert, apatia, where I do not like to be active. I don't like to chant extra rounds, or I don't even like to finish my quota of rounds, because I somehow don't have this strength. It is said that inertia or apatia is the state of the soul who is not active on the spiritual plane. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, if we allow this inertia, or this, you could also say, apatia, to remain in the heart, how can we ever perform devotional service? If you allow this apatia, or this inertia, to be in the heart, you will not be able to do devotional service. Now, enthusiasm is actually the natural quality of the natural of the soul. Enthusiasm for Krishna, for service of Krishna. And it is the exact opposite of this apatia. However, I would like to tell you, enthusiasm is not what many people think enthusiasm is. Enthusiasm is not just a passionate endeavor, which can be a fanatic, which can be perceived by others who are not in that certain religious or spiritual system in which the wrongly enthusiastic person is. It can be perceived as fanaticism. Enthusiasm has nothing to do with this mindless passion, with this fanaticism. This is something different. Enthusiasm is described by Srila Prabhupada to be an effort. How do we say effort in Croatia? Yes. Combined with intelligence. Enthusiasm which is blind, which doesn't follow intelligence and scripture, it can be fanaticism and it can be dangerous. Or it can be a little bit more harmless, just passion. But when this real enthusiasm, which is combined with information from the scriptures, comes into your heart, laziness and inertia or apatia have to go. They run away, almost like the darkness has to go whenever the light appears in a room or in an atmosphere. Many times, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, enthusiasm is there at the beginning of an undertaking, the beginning of a journey. Because without that enthusiasm, you couldn't even bring your first step before your house. Enthusiasm is necessary, very necessary to start the spiritual life. But as I said, later, for many reasons, enthusiasm can go. I have identified one reason, that is when a devotee feels he has to settle himself. He just can't only be spiritually active. He has to also settle his body and mind in an activity which is natural for him. Or enthusiasm might go even for mistakes, for the reason that you have mistakes in your spiritual life, like aparadas, long-lasting offenses. They can kill the enthusiasm. But I would like to today address to you why enthusiasm goes from another perspective, from a very simple perspective. Enthusiasm goes when you feel, I can't make it. Now, I remember when I was young, I was enthusiastic for marathon running. Do you know marathon running? You either run with many people in the town, you know, for 24 kilometers, that's one marathon. But I didn't never like to do what everyone else did. I ran alone, and I ran the whole day. I liked to run in the winter because then it was very peaceful. And I used to just run, and in the evening I would be somewhere. And I would ask people, where is the next train? And then I would get a train and sit in a train and be driven by the train home. It would sometimes take hours because I was just somewhere in the wilderness. And I remember I like to run marathon stretches. I think it helps me now to sing and dance for many hours without any problem. My body is trained for marathon activities. But I do remember sometimes I had the feelings, I can't make it. And once this is in the mind, that you feel you can't make it, you're too weak today, then you can't run any longer. You can't run for a marathon stretch. So this thing we have, Baladev Vidyabhushana has identified. He has said, whenever a person thinks, I cannot make it, I cannot be successful in this endeavor of trying to become Krishna conscious, then the enthusiasm goes. And as a result, he will become unenthusiastic. Many times, this feeling, I cannot make it, comes up when there are obstacles in our path. And these obstacles seem to break our life. For instance, an unresolved relationship can be a great obstacle. Or we can have all of a sudden the storm of politics can come into a yatra, and the politics are so bad, and we feel so unenthusiastic, and we feel, oh, who cares anyway? You know, these are normal Niyosabhas here. I don't give my life for this bunch of fools, you know. And we feel disheartened when we see into politics amongst devotees. Those who make politics amongst devotees should know it's always bad for the preaching. It takes the enthusiasm in young people away, in those who may not yet be so enthusiastic. Politics must be avoided like a bad air which comes. Hare Krishna. But when obstacles come, no matter what these obstacles are, how should we act in relationship to these obstacles? Should we take these obstacles so serious that they kill our enthusiasm. And I want to give you today a perspective which tells you, no, you should take obstacles which are bound to come in this world and in your life as a chance to continue to advance. I would like to illustrate this point with one of my favorite stories, which I feel is so wise and so good that I really have the feeling I could give you today a jewel from my heart. The story is about uno momento. Yes, it is about a teacher, a Sufi teacher, who used to live in northern Africa. What is it there? A province with T? Tunis is the town. Tunis is also the country. Tunis. So he used to teach, and he used to give lectures every evening under a palm tree. So the students who came and listened to him noted that this palm tree was a very special palm tree because it had a big kamina, a stone, in the crown of the tree. One day, as the stars were slowly starting to twinkle in the sky, the teacher had just finished a wonderful lecture on surrender to God. One of his students asked, "Oh, my holy master, do you know about this palm tree and why he has a stone, a big rock, in the crown of the tree?" Now, when he asked the question, the teacher responded in an unexpected way. He started to cry helplessly for 5 minutes. And then he said, "Oh, this tree is my master." Now all the students were very interested. What? This teacher said the tree is his master? He's a student of a tree? Ooh. Yes. Listen very carefully. There was a time when I was not a spiritual person. I was a rascal. Very interested in material life. And there was a time when there were many, many trees around this one tree. Now this tree is alone. All the other trees have gone, and there's a reason. Listen very carefully. I used to come into this forest of palm trees, and I used to see this tree, which was very beautiful and which grew very strongly. And I was thinking, I wish I would be like the tree, but my life is, I always have problems, fights with others, and so on and so forth. And then the teacher said, "One day I felt so envious on this tree that I took a rock as big as I could carry it, and I placed it in the crown of the tree. The first year, the beautiful tree was really fighting with the weight, and it went down. It became a little bent, and I thought, good, I slowly kill this tree, who seems to be more successful up till now than me. But the second year, the tree began to grow despite of the rock. And the third year, the tree, who was bearing this weight, became stronger and more beautiful. The fourth year, a terrible gale came. Do you know what is a gale? It's like a sand storm. And the sandstorm felled all the other trees except for this one tree. Do you know why? The students were very interested. Why? They had expected that this tree would first go down when the sandstorm hit. Why was it growing? And why was it now the only tree? And all the other trees had gone. The master explained. Because the tree had to carry a burden, it was forced to grow deeper roots. And because of the deeper roots, the tree could resist or weather the storm. Hare Krishna. And then the master said, this is what I have learned from this tree. When I saw after the fifth year how he was growing, despite this difficulty which I placed upon him, and when I noticed that this tree has grown deeper roots, and that's why it is so strong, I thought, I will change my life. I will also become like the tree, a servant of others. The tree gives coconuts and shade, and so on. And I said, I also will give the fruits of my realizations to the others. My dear devotees, I know all of you. Not all of you, but most of you. You also know me very well. A few days ago, I told to one devotee of you, Devashi Narada Prabhu, we have grown up in the same times. We have gone through the good and the bad. We know about mistakes and overcoming mistakes. We are family somehow. We are so few Hare Krishnas. And I know that some of you have difficulties. And I know that these difficulties, which some of you have discouraged your enthusiasm in the past. But I would request you to today look upon the wisdom of the tree. Maybe these difficulties can be seen in another light. Maybe these mistakes which we have done and which we may continue to do even out of helplessness or weakness, can teach us to grow deeper in our roots. I want to suggest to you today realistic sources of enthusiasm. I will not now tell sources which are maybe difficult for you to do. Make an inventory in your life. What have you realized so far? For instance, a thing like, I am a soul, I am not just the body. Another thing you might have realized so far is that when I am sincerely associating with devotees and participating in the devotional processes, I feel better. I saw today our Dionysus, who is not always 375 days in a year, the most holy person in the universe. We can say like this. After 10 years, we can say. I have noted how he came into the association of devotees, played the madangas and danced, and how you enjoyed life as if these were your best moments. Huh? So this may be a realization for Dionysus. If I go into the association of devotees, no matter what happened to me in Sarajevo, maybe I have just wrestled with a bad mafioso in Sarajevo and have hit him on the chin, and it was a little passionate. Now I'm here. Let me chant and dance. This is good for me. It takes away the passion, and so on. So this may be a realization. Dionysus, please forgive me. I should not give a public name. Whatever you may be, collect those things which you know have worked in the past, and they will lift you up on a higher platform, the platform of enthusiasm. I have many more points which I will talk about in the question and answer session, but now I want to turn to our Chandramouli Maharaj. Please, Maharaj, talk to us. Or maybe, because this is always bent down, so then we can give Maharaj my microphone, if this is not so good.
This microphone is suffering from apathy. Thank you, His Holiness Satchinandana Maharaj. Always has very interesting and very deep realizations of the philosophical precepts of Krishna consciousness, not simply through study, but through experience. So, and we're always absorbed when he speaks, because there's always so much to know, to learn, and to apply. Thank you, Marge. Hare Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyati Dei Satarine, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunatananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sivasri Gauda Bhaktivinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Enthusiasm. This verse that we've been using as the basis for our topic is a very interesting verse, and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has made a very interesting statement regarding this verse in terms of its meaning in practical application in our spiritual life, which Srila Prabhupada has applied according to his own understanding of his success in Krishna consciousness. And that definition or realization is that this verse means whether it's difficult or whether it's easy, it doesn't matter. Difficult and easy doesn't consider whether something is easy or difficult. What one considers is that it's the instructions of the spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada said that in his attempt to spread Krishna consciousness, he meditated on this principle, that difficulty and ease, these are not a consideration. What is important is that this is the instructions of the spiritual master. Therefore, with that determination and with that conviction, Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Of course, along with his deep purity. But we see many times there was no reciprocation, or very little reciprocation from his efforts to spread Krishna consciousness, especially when he first came to America. And Srila Prabhupada would sometimes, after being in America for a few months and really not getting very much reciprocation, he was speaking a little bit at Dr. Mishra's ashram in the upper part of New York City with some more well-to-do people, and doing his translation in the evening. But he was feeling that a little bit less enthusiastic in terms of what was happening or not happening. So he would go down every day, practically every day, to the docks where the boats sail back to India. And he would read the schedule of the boats leaving to go back to India. And he would just do this every day. And one time the man who was there at the counter, who was, would give out, you know, the information, he asked him, because he was seeing him every day, he says, "You're coming every day, but you're never buying any ticket." And Prabhupada just smiled. He was thinking, I've come, I've tried, it's no success, maybe I should go back. But then he thought, no, let me continue. Let me continue. So his determination was fixed on the instructions of the spiritual master, despite the fact that there was very little, what we say, apparent success in his endeavors. But, of course, Krishna was testing him. And Krishna is testing all of us to see whether we are, we call ourselves fair weather devotees. Fair weather means when things are nice, then we're enthusiastic. I think His Holiness Satchinanda Maharaj covered this point quite nicely. That when obstacles, difficulties, reverses are there, does that become a source of discouragement? Or lack of enthusiasm starts to set in, or some apathy or indifference? I was just in the airport today, and I'll tell you personally, I hate airports. I don't like flying. I have to do it. I just don't like being with all these materialistic people in such close quarters. It's just uncomfortable for me. Of course, I was flying with Satchinandana Maharaj. We were flying to India, and I had the good fortune of being in his association. And we also flew back together from London to India and from India back to London. And I was watching him. He's happy, wherever he is. I was amazed. I'm thinking, this is a very difficult situation, but he's quite transcendental. So I was trying to learn something from that, but I realized it's going to take me a little time. So my enthusiasm is dampened by, not dampened, but challenged. And today I was thinking, I was very tired, and I was, you know, had been on very crazy schedule for the last week, going to bed at after midnight every night. So there was some physical and mental sluggishness there. And then being put into that situation, so I was thinking, oh no. And then at one point I thought, all right, Krishna, I can just suffer through this, or I can just see it as your mercy. This is you're trying to somehow or other give me an opportunity to develop certain qualities in this situation. Tolerance, patience, accepting it as your mercy for my purification, for one form or another. And then as soon as I did that, the whole situation changed. I accepted it and became a lot easier, despite the difficulties of my physical situation. So I think this is an important point, because as long as we are enthusiastic when things go good, we're really not, we can't, as we say, go deep in our roots in Krishna consciousness. It's actually the challenges in our spiritual life that really test our Krishna consciousness. And then by remaining enthusiastic, or what does it mean to remain enthusiastic? As to keep that attitude of service and surrender in every situation. That somehow transcends the situation and allows us to see something that Krishna is teaching us in that situation, whether it's tolerance, humility, patience, or just determination, or just realizing that being in the material world, you know, it's not always pleasant. It just comes along with having a material body and having, being in a material world. There will be difficulties. So, you know, we have to see how, and the basis of remaining enthusiasm, and as Maharaj pointed out, is based on the definition of enthusiasm, and that is to keep our active Krishna consciousness by applying our intelligence in every situation. If we go how we feel, because feelings are always changing. Sometimes we feel up, sometimes we're not. And feelings are sometimes more or less affected by, you know, internal and external situations. But we have to transcend that by applying the philosophical principles in our Krishna consciousness that allows us to keep going despite whatever difficulties and remaining enthusiastic. There's a beautiful story of, and part of becoming enthusiastic, before I speak the story, is that we have to set goals in our spiritual life. We should all want to become pure devotees. Actually, we are. Everyone is a pure devotee. The soul is by nature pure. The soul is by nature eternal, full of knowledge, and full of joy. And each individual soul has an eternal loving relationship with Krishna, ecstatically. And we should want to achieve that state of consciousness. And that's actually the goal of this movement, is to come to that state of pure love for Krishna, in ecstatic loving devotion. So we shouldn't settle for anything less. That is the ultimate goal. We shouldn't think, I just, well, somehow or other want to get by or be comfortable or somehow or other just feel a little bit happy. No, we should actually want to develop love of God. And in trying to attain the ultimate goal, we have to set what we saw intermediate goals. This helps us to develop enthusiasm by setting smaller goals in our spiritual life, like chanting so many rounds every day, maybe before a certain time, like getting our runs done early. Sometimes we don't do that. So, okay, let's make that an attempt, a goal to get our rounds done early with good attention and with enthusiasm. Or reading every day for an hour or two. Or taking the opportunity to associate with devotees on a regular basis. In other words, establishing some practical goal in our spiritual life that we haven't already achieved. We call it, we might say, a vow or a vrata. These things allow us to somehow or other become stronger in our spiritual life. Because we only have to strive for something. Enthusiasm is a feature that allows us to strive. There should be some goal. The ultimate goal is Krishna consciousness. But in the meantime, what else are we trying to do? We should be trying to achieve certain levels of Krishna consciousness through various programs. So that helps, establishing short-term goals, which ultimately lead to the long-term goal. And that helps develop enthusiasm. Another way enthusiasm is developed is by associating with people who are enthusiastic. This is very important. When you're with someone who is enthusiastic, you also gradually, through that association, develop those qualities. This is very important. So therefore, association is the foundation for all success in Krishna consciousness. And the converse is also true. If we associate with people who are unenthusiastic, who are critical, who find fault with devotees, who make politics, who are just, you know, lazy, or whatever. In other words, negativity. The worst person you can be with is a person who is negative. Right? You're trying to achieve something and everyone is, this doesn't work, this person's not right, this is not right, the prashadam's not right, this, you know, this person is not right. It's like, this is, everything is not right, right? Everything is the way it is, whether it's right or not. Accept it as for what it is and make yourself right. Don't worry about what else. Don't make your enthusiasm dependent on whatever else is happening around you. And stay away from negativity. Associate with those who are enthusiastic, who are positive, who speak about Krishna, who speak about the glories of devotional service, who speak about about success in Krishna consciousness, who have overcome difficulties and somehow become more serious in their spiritual life. And associate with those types of persons. I remember Jayananda, the famous Jayananda. Perhaps you heard? Everyone knows Jayananda? He's one of his qualities, many good qualities, was that if someone would criticize someone in his presence, he would immediately walk away. And then that person would get the signal, oh, I'm not speaking right, Jayananda's leaving. Immediately, as soon as he would hear Vaishnav criticism or fault-finding, immediately walk away. We'll never listen to that. Good way to preach, too. So, someone asked him, Jayananda, where do you, you know, can you tell me something about Krishna? He would say, I don't know anything about Krishna. All I know is that I have some service to do right now. He was always engaged in devotional service. So anyone who associated with him immediately picked up those qualities of enthusiasm and finding good, seeing devotees as persons who have developed good qualities. So that kind of association we need to find and be an inspiration in ourselves for that type of association. So that is very, very important. And enthusiasm is the life of Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami makes a statement, and this is a very powerful statement. He says, enthusiasm crushes anarthas. Enthusiasm crushes anarthas. Sometimes we think we have to remove anarthas through the process of trying to deal with them individually. But one who is enthusiastic in their devotional service immediately overcomes the difficulties and the obstacles in spiritual life. It just crushes anarthas. So enthusiasm is the foundation. As Maharaj says, it's the soul of the body. It's the life of devotional service. In fact, Rupa Goswami puts that first as the principle for success in spiritual life. Always remain enthusiastic. And part of remaining enthusiastic is always be positive. That Krishna consciousness, it works. If we simply follow the process, have faith in the instructions of the spiritual master, associate with devotees who are enthusiastic, read the books, chant the holy names, it works. It works. Even if we have a setback, even if we have some difficulty, Krishna is purifying us through these things. That's all. It's some anarthas being challenged. That's all. When we try to hold on to the anarthas, that blocks our ability to make advancement. So always remain enthusiastic. I'll tell one little story to end my talk because I know it's time. We're also going to have time for questions and answers. It was about it's a mundane story, but it shows not only enthusiasm but determination despite difficulty. I think Maharaja's story was really, really the epitome of that point of how difficulties build strength. There was one girl. She was born somewhere in the south of America, in the southern part of America. Her name was, I think, Jennifer Winfred. This was back in the middle 1900s. And she was born with a disease of the legs. She was on crutches from her very beginning of her life. So she could walk a little, but the disease hampered her walking normally. So she was going to the doctors as a little girl. And the doctor's analysis that is ultimately she will not, if after a few years this disease will become worse, there's no cure, and she will not be able to walk. But she wouldn't accept that, even as a little girl. As she was growing up, she couldn't accept the fact that she couldn't walk. In fact, she told her mother, "Mommy, not only do I want to walk, but I want to run. I want to run." Her mother was quite wise. She said, "Actually, my dear daughter, anything you want to do, you pray to God. God can give you the strength to overcome difficulty." And she was so determined to run that she was praying to the Lord from the core of her heart as a little girl, that, "Please, God, I want to run. I want to be fast. Not only run, but I want to be fast." Gradually, through her prayers and her determination, she overcome that ailment, and she was able to walk again. Then she went to school as a little girl. Still, her legs were not normal. And then she started to enter into the races with the other kids in school, like the kids, they have these little races, see who's the best in the school. And she would run with the other kids, and she would always come in last because she had the difficulty. But she would never accept that as her fate in life. And she kept trying and trying and trying and practicing and doing whatever she could and praying to the Lord. Gradually, she started to run and she started to win. Not only did she start to win, she became the best in the school. After a while, she went on to higher and higher things. Eventually, she entered the Olympics in America, and she became the Olympic champion runner in 1935 in America. That's the best runner in the entire country. This was her determination. She didn't accept the fact that there were so many, what we say, obstacles and deficiencies, and practically it was impossible. She had faith in the words of her mother. It was almost like Dhruva Maharaj's mother told him, "If you want to know God, just God can be found in the forest. You go there and you pray to God." And he had that determination, enthusiasm. Determination is a feature of enthusiasm. So this is a good lesson to learn that, you know, don't consider yourself, in any way, in any kind of position that is marginal. Everyone can develop pure love of God. It is there within the soul. We just have to develop the qualities and the characteristics that are necessary to practice Krishna consciousness. And if we have that enthusiasm, then Krishna will do the rest. Krishna will do the rest. It's based simply on our determination, our enthusiasm. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So thank you very much, Maharaj. It would be very nice now if you can asked your respective questions to Chandramouli Maharaj and myself on the subject matter, so that we somehow go maybe even a little deeper into the subject, or at least have something where you have your own questions, and maybe one of us can give you some good tip. So please feel free to ask your questions now. Mahaprabhu.
When we are determined to serve Krishna and we want to take this seriously, we put this part of devotional life. But we find so many varieties of goals to focus ourselves. And Krishna wants in different phases in our life, as we can see also in our society in general. We can see many different goals, and Krishna defines certain goals, and he wants us to be enthusiastic, to purify ourselves and to endeavor in a certain direction. But tendency of the mind, which is main point in this question, where to trick us somehow, oh, it's not important, and but we're not therefore explained in this enthusiasm. What's so hard. But to be indifferent to goals which are really essential for our devotional development, at least at that moment. But tendency of the mind is to trick us to put that on the side, say, oh, but it's not so important. There's so many other things, and I can be enthusiastic even more for so many other things, but not for that one. But because process is very personal, we shall want us exactly that point to focus on, but we want to rather take so many other things, even be more enthusiastic and more, surrender more, but not particularly, which is really essential for our spiritual life. But how to define that, and I found it very, very difficult. Like, yes, I need all these projects, it's very important, but what about this? Oh, we should put that to the side, and like, and so many years, we can really endeavor, but a little bit slightly wrong direction. I cannot say it's wrong, because in the frame of devotional life, but somehow we become indifferent to that things which we should put.
For you, Maharaj.
There are so many things to do, but there may be one thing which we should focus on, but we do not wish to focus on that thing, although it's really that thing which must be done first. See, in spiritual life, or for the spiritual development in life, we have to learn one little word. It may take time for us before we can really say we have learned this word. But it is called honesty. Mm. Honesty with ourselves, and honesty what needs to be done. This subject comes very much into our mind. This is a subject which is important when we address the subject, taking out the weeds in our heart, which grow next to the Bhakti Lata beach. It is said, like, when you become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, then other plants, not just your Krishna consciousness, grow in your heart. Other plants, like, for instance, becoming known in the society of devotees, becoming, and therefore becoming a little, getting pratishtha, recognition, and so on. These things also grow. We become very I know very successful in some things. I do know in my case, I always appreciated the Rolling Stones before I came to Krishna consciousness, because they just were rebellious to the normal society, which I perceived as being a false society full of lies and so on. And then I do remember when in Krishna consciousness, I always wanted to be like them in some ways. Now in Krishna consciousness, that material desire was fulfilled. I was called in the newspaper the Mick Jagger of the Hare Krishna movement because I was able to dance very nicely on the stage. And I was doing many things like throwing barrels of waters on the fence and flowers and, you know, swinging on a rope over their heads and shouting in the microphone, Hari Bol, yeah! and so on. And here I noticed that next to maybe my little efforts in becoming successful in, I mean, not successful, but enchanting better. Also now I was becoming famous in some way which I used to like before I came to Krishna consciousness. And I became very, very, in the first moments I liked it. I liked to be called like this. But then when I became more sincere in Krishna consciousness, I understood, oh my God, I'm now for one of my material desires is fulfilled. I could see this. And I became very, I thought, now this is the time to become honest. And I noticed with honesty, or I was becoming actually materially contaminated. I was becoming proud to be famous like these persons who are full of anattas, you know. And it took me some honesty and some time where I asked the question, what do I really wish in my life? And then I could divorce myself from this in Sanskrit it's called taranga rangini, the waves of material life which come back and which you enjoy. So, Mahaprabhu, your question is a little bit different, but I feel the answer is the same. If you want to identify what you should do at this moment, what particular service you should place your full attention on, and what services are maybe not so important at this moment for you to do. You need to be honest. And when you are honest and you identify your situation, when you honestly identify the situation in which you are, that means when you identify those areas which need to be done now, then by your honesty, you can do the right thing. But if you are not willing to be honest and not willing to analyze where you are and what the situation requires, you will, in the name of Chandramouli Maharaj, used the term fair weather, to be a fair weather devotee, you know, just like picks out the nice things, you will not be able to take so much responsibility at the moment. So honesty is the clue here. It's a difficult thing to learn, and it only is learnable by someone who really wants the goal of Krishna consciousness, that is to give pleasure to Krishna. Only he will identify, oh, now I'm doing something which is not really giving pleasure to Krishna. How does it please Krishna if I'm now having a pleasant experience? This is my answer to your question. Hare Krishna. There was another question which I saw. Madhu Chanda had his question up. Then our Vraj Kishore, thank you so much that you are there. And Lydia is here. and the two young lions from Macedonia. Two children. Govinda Nandan is here. There's also maybe Mataji's worth question. Not at the moment. Oh yeah, there was a question, no? So we have four devotees now. Madhuchan, Govindanandini has a question also. Ooh, these are many. So Madhuchandran, please ask your question. It will be answered by Chandra. Moli Maharaj.
This question I want to ask the Lord, like if you want to tell us what is your source for enthusiasm in your spiritual life, to continue with many years practicing Krishna consciousness. And another part is, what to do when we face this half-death condition in so days it happened in our life, and when we see the source of inspiration, which we know they could work, but we just want to avoid them and to don't even face them, like to practice them. So what to do in this kind of situation?
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, your secret tips are now required.
What was the last point is when you're faced with certain situations?
Like this half-death situation, when we are really not alive for Krishna consciousness, we don't have inspiration for nothing.
How should we act?
And when we face this source of inspiration, we know the chanting or reading or devotees will help us in this situation, but we just want to avoid them. Like, it happens sometimes.
Oh. When you're in Maya, you don't want to be around anybody. Basically, it's like that.
Before the question is answered by Chandramouli Maharaj, please, let us use all the open windows, because some of you look so miserable from the lack of oxygen. And let us be free with the oxygen. As long as it is free, let us enjoy it in big quantities.
Okay. So you asked personally, what is our inspiration? I can only, I don't have a lot of realizations, but my main inspiration is the holy name. I just have, I don't know, somehow through the years I've developed complete faith in chanting. By the mercy of Prabhupada and through experience, but I just take, any time when things are difficult or not difficult, I just chant. I like to chant. I like chanting. Even sometimes when my chanting is difficult or I'm tired, still, I realize that by taking shelter of the holy name, it doesn't matter. I'm in the best situation. Even if I'm not experiencing the bliss of chanting, still I know I'm rightly situated. I can't be in any better place. I went to the best place to take shelter of Krishna's name. And so in that, I feel confident that I'm doing the thing that is most needed. I'm taking shelter of Krishna's name. And we read in the scriptures just the glories of the holy name, the benefits of the holy name, the exclusive position of the holy name, and the emphasis of the holy name in our practice. So that, for me, is there. But I think the other thing is that when we're around devotees who are inspiring, we also become inspiring. I came into the kirtan. Everyone was dancing so nicely, and Sachinanda Maharaj was in his Mick Jagger mood. He was slightly, not completely.
Thank you.
No, I'm just joking, but he was very enthusiastic, and everyone else was enthusiastic because of his inspiration. And then I just came in, and I became a little enthusiastic. So it's like that. We associate with people who are enthusiastic and chant the holy name. That's the really the whirlwind of our enthusiasm, chanting and being with people who are enthusiastic. That's all. So that's for me, that's where I can get my enthusiasm. I also am, another thing about me I like, which I can't really fulfill all the time, I like to read. And I relish the moments of sitting down with Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and just reading. And not just reading, but really trying to read deeply about what is being explained. So that I find complete peace and satisfaction in that. And that really makes me feel like there's, I'm enjoying that. There's a sense of happiness that I get from that. There's a sense of knowledge that I receive from that too. So that's for me, that's for some of my focus points. And then when we're not feeling enthusiastic and there's so many other, that was the second question, was it? We're somewhat in Maya and we're just not, what should we do? Is that basically your question?
What to do when even if we don't like to practice anything? Like
we should know it's just the mind. We shouldn't listen to the mind. The mind is just going to give us all kinds of reasons why, you know, it needs to be the thing that we listen to. One of the things about the mind is it doesn't like to be ignored. It wants attention. But Prabhupada explains in Srimad Bhagavatam purports that one of the features of the mind is that it should be ignored when it's not some, when not supporting the principles of Krishna consciousness. You shouldn't listen to it. Because it's just a feature of a certain state of mind that may be due to a circumstances or experience. And in one sense, it's an illusion. You know, sometimes you all of a sudden, things change, right? Somebody will say something or something will do something and all of a sudden you feel better. So the mind is responding to that. So we have to do that to ourselves sometimes. We have to give inspiration to our own mind. First of all, we don't listen to its negativity, and then we also somehow or other put within it, you know, the positive principles of Krishna consciousness or the instructions of the spiritual master. Remembering the instructions of the spiritual master. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, your mind is a non-devotee. It's a pretty powerful statement. The mind is a non-devotee. So if you associate with a non-devotee, it's against the principles. Associate with devotees. So you have to make your mind a devotee. So if it's giving you non-devotal, devotional messages, then you have to somehow preach to your mind. Okay, thank you.
My brief answer to Madhuchandan's two-part questions is this. I have really thought very deeply about my main source of enthusiasm. And although I must be very, very honest, I'm not always able to contact the source in the way which I would like to contact this source. It's very clear to me that Srila Prabhupada and his example is the main source of my enthusiasm. And I would like to tell you why. Because I feel that I can have full faith in Srila Prabhupada. I would like to give you an example from today. I looked at a movie, a lost movie. It was the first time this movie was there, of Srila Prabhupada's TV interview in Germany in Schloss Rettershof. And I looked at Prabhupada. He was obviously tired. And he was also very concentrated because he knew it was the German TV and they are so critical always. So Prabhupada very much, he was very concentrated, but you could see he was really, the long tour which he had was tiring him. And then I heard Prabhupada how he expressed Krishna consciousness. And with it, he expressed his own credo. Credo means his core belief as a merciful spreader of Krishna consciousness. He said, Krishna consciousness is very simple. Your father is a very rich father, but you are mad. You have, like the mad son, the lost son, run away from home. So he who tells you, you have a rich father who cares for you, is your real friend. This is our work. We go and tell people, you have Krishna. Now I heard the German reporter translating it, and he was not translating it very nice. He felt a little offended by the strong words. But when I looked at Prabhupada, and I tried to analyze him in this moment, I understood, yeah, this is what Prabhupada does. He travels around reminding us of Krishna. This is his work. And I could feel so much love and appreciation for him. And I thought, well, let me do the same, Prabhupada. I am not always very enthusiastic for preaching. People get on my nerves the older, as I get older and older. But I won't care. I will just try to give everything in your mission. And I could feel enthusiasm coming. It was very, very nice. So my main source of enthusiasm is Srila Prabhupada, although I would like to remember that more often and contact him more. And when I'm dead and gone, then I rest for a little while and then I chant extra rounds and read prayers and then it comes back. Often we may not be so enthusiastic because we are simply tired. You know, tired and worn out and like this. Hare Krishna. There was Braj Kishore and then Govinda Nandan and then Govinda Nandini.
And you have a question too? No? Go on. Okay.
Because of the extreme importance of this issue, over the years we listen quite often malicious on this subject matter. But I feel that it's very, very difficult anything to be changed. It looks like the enthusiasm, that we are born with enthusiasm or without. This is like my speculation. This is my question. It looks like, you know, some person could come to the Krishna consciousness and become, but he is a apathic person, distressed and depressed. Become enthusiastic with some time, and it is enthusiastic for some time, but after a few years, when Uttakarma is over, this person has to face a real life and a real Krishna consciousness and enthusiasm, real enthusiasm or not. The mundane scientists or doctors, they call it, it is genetically determinated. And maybe we can call it, this is just karma. We are both enthusiastic or we are not. And it seems to me like it's really, really difficult change anything from this subject or whatever.
Thank you very much. Your question or point is very well taken.
Mm-hmm.
называли се раджамо ентузиастични люди.
We are born with it. Is it genetically predetermined? You have to give a very good answer because he is a scientist, a dentist.
It's interesting science. You're a dentist. How long did it take you to become a dentist?
5 years.
And you really worked at it.
Yeah.
You're enthusiastic. Okay, there's my answer. If you have a goal and you want to achieve it, you'll be enthusiastic. I think we need to clarify the goal and understand what it means to become Krishna conscious. And then by understanding to achieve that, that if we achieve that, then we achieve everything. And so whatever we have achieved in life, there has to be some plan, some enthusiasm, and some value for what we're trying to attain before we obtain it. So I think in relation to your question, if that enthusiasm is not there, we need to understand what it means to be Krishna conscious. What it means, it means that to solve all our problems, we actually become, there's no problems once you become Krishna conscious. And not only that, that's just a byproduct. You actually become happy. You develop real knowledge, you develop your relationship with the Lord and with every other living entity. The benefits are unlimited. So we have to keep defining within our own hearts and minds in our life what it means to be Krishna conscious. It's the perfection of life. And so that helps us to develop the enthusiasm to achieve it. If we're not clear what it means to be Krishna conscious, it's just like, oh, just to be Krishna conscious means to be a GBC member. No. To be Krishna conscious means to be, you know, to have a lot of followers. No, these are symptomatic of Krishna consciousness, but they're not Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious means to love Krishna, to develop our loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's what we're after. And so whatever enthusiasm you have applied in your life to achieve whatever you have achieved, apply that same principles to Krishna conscious. And if it's not there, just get a clarification of that, of what it means to be Krishna conscious. And you'll see that that overshadows any other achievements that anyone may obtain. But we have to be convinced by that. So therefore we have to keep hearing the glories of the Lord. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that really to become Krishna conscious means to hear the glories of the Lord. As we hear the glories of the Lord, we become attracted to Krishna. And as we become attracted to Krishna, then our enthusiasm to serve Krishna, to hear more about Krishna, to surrender to Krishna becomes more and more natural. So I think that's the antidote for lack of enthusiasm, just hearing the glories of the Lord. Then that way our enthusiasm will increase.
I would like to add one point and to underline another point. See, enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness is something else than enthusiasm for material life. Enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness is something spiritual, something which all of us have, because all of us are souls. If we can uplift our souls by the practices of Krishna consciousness, this quality which may have been covered for a long time will come forth, like other qualities will come forth, like for instance renunciation or a direct experience of Krishna. All these are spiritual gifts which are coming forth from the soul, which is uplifted. It has to come. See, you might be materially still the person which you were when you joined. In other words, maybe a little thoughtful. Maybe you might be a little bit sensitive, more sensitive than others. Maybe you are a little bit melancholic, especially in the autumn time, when the seasons change and so on. And these things may still go on. They may keep on going. These material qualities with which you are born, as you say, they don't need to be changed. They can be there. They can remain with you. It's not a problem. But parallel on another side, if you make advancement in Krishna consciousness, you will see how other qualities, spiritual qualities, which you may not even have known that they are with you, come out. In my life, I have not changed what I was before. I'm still a person who is under the influence of Ketu in some ways. Astrologically, it's still there. It's a strong influence which brings one to spiritual life. It's very good. It's not a covering influence of misery like Rahu covers the mind totally, but it's a person who's very serious, who knows also that he has to be serious, otherwise life can be very problematic. But this has not changed. I still like to read a lot. I still believe in freedom, like I used to when I was before Krishna consciousness. I'm a little bit skeptical about hierarchies and authorities, like I used to be, a little anti-authoritarian and so on. But parallel to this, very mundane characteristics, which can be summarized by psychological systems. They are not special. They're just conditioned soul. Parallel to this, something else has grown. Yes, someone is born with certain qualities and certain astrological influences. And yes, there may not be too much of a freedom which is given to us on the material platform. But Raj Kishore, the whole system of spiritual development believes in the original freedom and the potentiality which the soul has. And if you do a proper, this is what Maharaj's point was, if you know what is Krishna consciousness and you cultivate it properly, then you will see how these qualities come. Yas yasti bhakti bhagavat yakinchana, says the Bhagavat. These inconceivable qualities, which are even desired by the devatas, come to someone who practices devotional life. And so on. This is wonderful. That was what I wanted to add. And another point which I wanted to underline is the main source of developing Krishna consciousness is Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing about Krishna and chanting. And our Chandramouli Maharaj is very wonderfully quoted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I didn't know this quote, but it sounds so wonderful. And yes, this sounds like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. What did you say? The hearing about Krishna? Please, can you repeat?
If we want to become Krishna conscious, we have to hear Krishna katha. Yes.
If we want to become Krishna conscious, we have to hear Krishna katha. then you will see a change in your heart as you hear. Hare Krishna. Now we come to our two last questions. Govinda Nandan and Govinda Nandini. Gaura Nandini. I'm sorry, not Govinda Nandini. Gaura Nandini. Yes.
You want to go first?
Should we change the voice or desire?
Yeah, you go first.
How important is love and devotion to the spiritual master if we want to change our desire? Was it that what you say? Keep our enthusiasm. The whole development in Krishna consciousness in its initial stage and in its most advanced stages is dependent on, I will use a psychological term now, role models. In the most advanced stages, we hear from the 8th chapter, 8th verse of the Nectar of Instructions, we should chant all day and follow the examples of the Brajavasis, who are very dear to Lord Krishna and who know how to please him. That's a very, at one stage, devotees will have role models in the spiritual world whom they wish to follow. Now, on the way to this, or before this very advanced state of spiritual practice, which Rupa Goswami gives in this Nectar of Instruction, another thing is that we follow the examples of the sadhus. In fact, the entrance into the palace of bhakti is all about that. It goes, there are 5 points. I'm not so sure now. Guru Padashraya, we take shelter at the lotus feet of a spiritual master. And then there are many things, like we take initiation from him. Then we ask confidentially about questions, spiritual questions. That's the third thing. Then there's a fourth thing, which I have not present at the moment. And then Sadhu Marganam, we follow the path of the other sadhus, not just our guru, but also the sadhus. And it is the entrance, really. And as we follow this entrance, as we go into this, we do have a realistic hope that one day we will maybe land at the 8th verse of the Nectar of Instruction.
Govindanandan, could you repeat your question again?
How important love and affection to the spiritual master is for keeping the all enthusiasm? How long for our spiritual master, our patient, how important this is keeping our enthusiasm?
I guess I'll speak a little less philosophical and say that, using the words of your question, our love and affection. Love and affection comes by way of the appreciation and that has been given, what we've been given by the spiritual master. The spiritual master is making a sacrifice in order to give Krishna consciousness to others. So when we accept that, you know, there's a bond, there's a connection there, and that connection is based on, of course, based on obedience. But through that obedience, there develops a relationship, and that relationship goes deeper than just obedience, because we see that the spiritual master is actually sacrificing
in order to do that. And so that sacrifice inspires us to develop some affection or for some love for the spiritual master. I think it's fundamental that those principles are there, because otherwise, if we lose that relationship, affection, or if we just, in other words, if it becomes like a business thing, like the spiritual master is giving this and I give something back, and he gives me something and I give something. He's giving knowledge, he's giving inspiration, he's giving direction, practical and philosophical, and then I just somehow follow it. That's nice, but when love is there, it really takes you into the mood of bhakti. I think there's a recently released book that's called What is the Difficulty? By Shruti Kirti Prabhu, who was Srila Prabhupada's personal servant for more than two and a half years. And he writes really simple, and it's a whole series of little stories of him and Srila Prabhupada in different situations. But you can read one thing through the whole thing, and that is Shruti Kirti's love for Prabhupada. And not only is it imbibed in the way he speaks, but he actually speaks it, how much he loves Prabhupada, how much he misses Prabhupada, how much he would like to again serve Prabhupada, how much faith he had, and how much he got from Prisila Prabhupada. So it becomes so overpowering that, you know, for him, there's nothing else. So love really binds one closely to the, and when you bind yourself closely to the spiritual master in that mood, you're actually binding yourself closely to Krishna also. So love should be there. Love, in other words, how does love work? Love works when some instruction is given and it's difficult and you don't want to do it, or it's not your propensity, or you do it anyway. You do it out of love. You can't see anything in it for yourself. I can remember, I was out on Sankirtan, and sometimes I would just become a little bit discouraged. And sometimes I would be just like, I wouldn't want to get out of the van and go out. And I would just sit there and just fight with my mind for a long time. And then I would try to come up with some reason why I should do it. I couldn't come up with any reason. Then I finally said, this pleases Krishna. And that's the only thing that made me get out there, that it was pleasing to Krishna. Was nothing in, I couldn't conceive anything in it for me. So that's love, that when we do something to please someone. So in that way we can respond to the instructions of the spiritual master in the same way, that we want to please him. And he's, spiritual master's pleased when we actually, you know, surrender to his instruction. And it goes beyond just, you know, following. It actually develops a mood of affection. Because this is a spiritual process. It's because the spirit, we are opening up our heart as we surrender. As in, when we open up our heart, the mood of devotion, the mood of love starts to manifest. So it's very important, essential, fundamental.
Thank you. Govinda, Gauranandini, not Govindanandini, sorry. Gauranandini.
You spoke about setting the goals, like spiritual goals, one thing that reminds me of Ekahagurunandana. So, in my life, what I do, I set a goal, and like, I don't concentrate on the obstacles, but what I notice, I start mixing, like, being determined with stubbornness, because I lose the point when it's time to let go, maybe. And actually, this and that is being determined in my life is actually standing on my way. And the next time, and then I'm somehow angry on Krishna, because I thought, okay, this is really like spiritual goals, and I'm so so straight, and I have to let go, and then I'm angry, disappointed. The next time,
Hare Krishna.
Time when I set my goal, I see that I'm not doing it anymore with my whole heart, like only half, like anyway, let's see if I again have to let go.
I think I know your problem. I'll answer it with a little analogy.
They didn't understand me. They asked if I could be my question. Okay. I have problems speaking French
It's a really common situation, and we get discouraged, but I'll answer it by an analogy. The analogy is that a river keeps going because it knows how to bend. If a river is just very, one way, it can sometimes come up against obstacles. But when it comes against obstacles, it learns how to go around. So keep the goal in mind, but also be flexible on how to achieve the goal. Sometimes we have our own program on how to get there, and Krishna has another program. The goal is nice, the goal is correct, but the way to get there may not be exactly what Krishna wants. That we just go charging into it and forget about everybody else. So one of the qualities that is very essential, and Maharaj is be giving a seminar on that, is that importance of humility, that we have to somehow or other apply the principles of humility to whatever we do. And always keep the goal in mind, but cultivate that mood of that, it's by Krishna's mercy that I can be successful, not by my endeavor. My endeavor should be there. But ultimately, if Krishna's pleased, then things happen. So we try to understand how to achieve what we want to achieve and not simply have, just like when you make a plan, or sometimes you have to adjust that plan according to the experiences you encounter during that attempt to fulfill that plan. If you're so rigid, straight line, that's nice in one sense, but it doesn't work because the world just doesn't work like that. There's so many other things, energies and situations and things that are unforeseen. So it's actually applying the principles of Krishna consciousness in the situation, keeping your mind focused on that goal, and praying for Krishna's mercy. That's also important. We have to pray for the mercy of the Lord. Okay, does that help a little? Yeah, be a little flexible. You have good, strong personality, and that's good for success, but at the same time, strength has to be applied according to time, place, and circumstance.
It's a very nice answer, Maharaj, and I would also say the same thing. I don't have so much to add, really, goals, but then, yes, we have to see how to obtain them. We have to be flexible, and we have to be willing to learn also and read the signs which Krishna gives us. Thank you very, very much. I want to thank also all of you very much for coming to this Krishna Conscious program. We will end it here because time is also there, and you might wish to see some devotees and make some arrangements for your journey to the summer camp. Chandramouli Maharaj will give tomorrow morning the lecture for you, for those of you who are still in Zagreb and not traveling, the morning lecture, and then we will at one stage all go to the Rijeka. Mm-hmm. So I wish you a good night. Laku noch. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi go nitai ki jai. Gaur premanandi hari hari.
Samaveda bhaktavinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna Bhakta, samo još tren pažnje, molim se prije nego što odete.